T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
The Mark Cox Morning Show is brought to you by Thomas Helbig and Bob Kershaw with the Retirement Advisory Group, retirementkey.com.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
Listen to both sides.
The bottom line is,
I respect that we don't agree.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Just to find a voice. Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
I don't know how to put this.
Mark Cox.
I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, folks?
Welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. We got a busy hour for you. You got Shannon Bream coming up in just a couple of minutes from Fox News Sunday, talking about the Supreme Court hearing this week on the abortion pill, and Griff Jenkins at the bottom of the hour as well, because he's been covering that bridge collapse. And a lot happening up there yesterday, as you're going to hear from Joy Reid in a few minutes, about apparently people hating on the mayor of Baltimore because he's a young black man, she said. Must be racism, she claims. I don't know. Maybe it's his crazy policies. It's altogether possible. I love it when people accuse me, well, you don't like so-and-so. It must, whenever it's Joy Reid or Al Sharpton, it must be because of their race. Well, or maybe, just maybe, I know this is controversial, it's because their policies suck and you're opposed to those, but then you want to blame everything else on skin color. It's just irritating, and you'll hear what I'm talking about here in a minute when we get to the short list. Glad that you're back with us. You know what's going to happen today, Kim? In New York City, very shortly, they're going to hold a funeral service for a police officer named Jonathan Diller, who was killed during a traffic stop on Monday. 31 years old, had only been on the force for a couple of years, was shot below his bulletproof vest in the belly, and it killed him.
I saw this video.
Left behind a wife and a one-year-old child. The scumbags who shot him are in custody. They both have a rap sheet as long as your leg, but for some reason, we're not in jail. Once again, New York City.
I was going to say, how many times are we hearing that over and over? They should have been in jail, but they weren't. They should have been, but they weren't.
Yeah. And so today, Joe Biden will hold what they're claiming will be the biggest fundraiser in the history of politics in America in New York City, where Barack Obama and Bill Clinton and Joe Biden are showing up. And if you donate enough, you can get a picture with all three of them at the same time. And they're going to raise $25 million. And it's going to be huge and blah, 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 blah. Like nobody's excited about it. It's happening blocks away from the funeral for this police officer. So instead of going there, Joe Biden's going to raise money. Guess who's going to be there? Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is going to the funeral for the police officer.
Yeah, as he should. And honestly, what's sad, too, is it's like a Hollywood showing at this other event, this fundraiser, because Stephen Colbert will be there. You have Mindy Kaling, who is putting it on. She's the actress from The Office. Well, she's in a lot of things. And you know that a lot of those Hollywood actors and actresses are very woke. And yes, they're saying this is likely going to be the biggest fundraiser for Joe Biden.
I don't think money can help him overcome his deficiencies. I just got to be honest with you. Well, I don't think it's going to matter in the long run.
That's what's funny is they're raising all this money in hopes of obviously being able to put out ads and stuff, but
and
being able
lies.
To send him to different places to speak, but he can barely speak. He can't go do all these fundraising events like Donald Trump can, where he's speaking for an hour straight. Even if he had cue cards that, you know, letters 3 feet tall, he couldn't do it. He wouldn't be able to get through it without stumbling.
I agree. So, well, it overshadows the seriousness of what's happened up there. The death of yet another member of law enforcement in the face of woke policies in New York City. Both of these shooters, both these people involved in this should have been in jail and not out. And this is what our law enforcement faces every day. Just heartbreaking is what it is. All right, very quickly, let's get to the shortlist, Carl, please.
The Mark Cox shortlist.
Referring to a black mayor as a DEI mayor gets the point across, right? So, fellas, why not just say what you mean? You can't stand black people. We get it.
Yeah, that must be it. It can't have anything to do with the horrible policies that discriminate. It can't have anything to do with that. It must all be race, according to Joy Reid and the mayor in Baltimore.
This so-called squatter scam is something that's happening around the country. There's even videos telling people how to go in and take over an empty house.
Yeah, love me some Ron DeSantis. I just have to say, we just yesterday talked about how awful it is that illegal aliens, citizens of the U.S. that don't have a house, can move into yours and live there under squatter's rights, and you can't do anything about it. No longer can that happen in the great state of Florida.
I will say, you know, a lot of the disinflation that we've seen has been a result of the work that the president led to improve and smooth out our supply chains.
Would you trust Pete Buttigieg to walk your dog, let alone school you on economics? I wouldn't.
We are hiring officers. We just graduated a class of 11. We have a class of 17 in our current class, and we have a class of 30 starting in 2 months.
Nothing to see here other than about 500 officers have left the St. Louis police force since Tishara Jones got elected mayor. If you can overlook that, not a big deal. Nothing to see here. That was at the crime summit yesterday that they put together. This East-West Council, Gateway Council put this together, and they're going to attack crime on a regional basis, even though we know where most of the crime is happening. And when Steve Ellman, the county executive out in St. Charles, proposed the radical idea that what we should do is say that you're not allowed to hire a social worker till you've hired at least 10 new police officers, and that apparently set Mayor Tish off. So why don't you go to cut 12, Carl, please.
Today, things got a bit heated between two area leaders, St. Louis Mayor Tishara Jones and St. Charles County Executive Steve Ellman, after Ellman proposed several amendments to the crime-fighting plan. One of those amendments mandated for every one social worker hired, 10 police officers also need to be hired, and that led to this exchange.
So, you know what? I've sat here And I've listened to all of your amendments, but this one, okay. I'm drawing the line.
No.
I really need you to withdraw this.
It just says
we are hiring officers. We are hiring officers. We just graduated a class of 11. We have a class of 17 in our current class, and we have a class of 30 starting in 2 months.
We've got to improve the work of the police departments. We got to get our police departments working together. We got to get them fully staffed. And I think only if you do that are you going to be able to fix the crime problem.
Thank you, Steve Ellman, for pointing that out. And by the way, he will be on the Mark Reardon Show this afternoon in the 5 o'clock hour to talk about this.
That should be Mayor Tishara Jones' number one priority right now. Forget about investing in the city. That's very important, too, to try to draw business in. The number one thing that's going to get people to want to invest, it's like a ripple effect. If you make people feel safer, that will make people want to come back downtown.
Yeah.
people don't even want to stop at stoplights. I mean, people don't want to stop at stoplights because they don't care about following the law. But I would argue that I don't want to be a sitting duck sitting at a stoplight, and I'm constantly looking around, head on a swivel, like, is somebody going to walk up and carjack at me, you know, on my way to work in the morning?
Kim, if more social workers were available, they could help you work through those feelings of fear.
That's true. You know what? If I do get carjacked, do you have a number for a social worker I could call to come help me?
I'm sure we can find one somewhere instead of having more police on the street. The question was, well, where are we going to get the money? Oh, I don't know. NFL settlement. You're sitting on a ton of cash. And then they poor mouthed, well, we bring officers in and we train them. And then you other municipalities steal them away once we've trained them. No, we don't steal them away. There's probably somewhere else they'd rather work where they're less likely to get shot at.
And they're not paid as high. The salary here in St. Louis is not as high as some of the other places.
It's close.
But it's still not as high. And your life, I mean, let's be real. You're going to some of these crazy areas.
Lots of issues. Until they get this probably back under state control, I'm afraid that's going to continue to deteriorate as long as Mayor Tish has a direct say in how it's run, for sure. Coming up, Shannon Bream, Fox News Sunday. We're going to talk more about the Supreme Court abortion pill arguments that took place earlier this week. Back in a minute.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Get up, baby! Get up!
There's only one Shannon.
Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday. Great to have you back this morning, Shannon. How are you?
Good morning, Mark. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Mifepristone is a word that I only learned this week. I didn't know what the pill was called until this hearing on the abortion pill in the Supreme Court. And all of the headlines I've seen say that the justices seemed leery of this case, or they seem more likely to side with the FDA. What's the truth here?
Yeah, there's been a lot of weird misinformation about this case, so I'll try to weed through some of that. But overall, I think that take is probably right. There's this issue of standing. You know, they won't even get to the merits of a case if they don't think the right parties are before them. So most of the arguments were spent on whether this group of pro-life doctors who is challenging mifepristone and how the FDA has treated it, whether they can even show they have an injury or harm, whether they're the right plaintiffs. Now, I will tell you, even if they don't get to the merits on the case and they say these doctors aren't the right ones, there are other plaintiffs out there who are working on similar claims. So maybe it may not be the last time we hear this before the court.
Yeah, I'm not a lawyer. I've told you that before. It's irritating to me that with a subject this important, they would dismiss it without looking at the merits of the case.
Yeah, I mean, they may get to it. And even there, I think that there was a sense across the bench that there wasn't enough evidence for second-guessing what the FDA has done. Now, one of the flies in the ointment, I would say, on that is they're not talking about completely yanking mifepristone from the market.
Right.
What they're talking about are safety changes and guidelines changes that the FDA made in 2016 and in 2021. Now, one of those interesting things in 2016 was they took away the requirement that prescribers would have to report adverse events, anything short of a fatality. So emergency room visits, heavy bleeding, infections, all of those things. After 2016, the doctors did not have to report that information. So when you hear them arguing in court a couple of days ago, there's no evidence that there are a bunch of, you know, dangers or adverse events. Part of that is in, you know, relation to the 2016 decision to tell doctors, short of a fatality, they didn't have to report those anymore.
Yeah, I don't really trust that. They also say that abortion is safe. So it's frustrating for me all around. Shannon, I know that some states, Walgreens and CVS will start having this abortion pill available with a prescription. It's not Missouri. It's Massachusetts, Rhode Island, but then they're considering Kansas, Montana, and Wyoming. So does that mean that this plan would be on hold as far as distributing this abortion pill at those Walgreens and CVSs?
Well, one of the things that the court is considering, if they get to the merits, is the fact that it used to take 3 in-person visits to get mifepristone. Now it doesn't. Now, and part of that change during COVID, the FDA relaxed the in-person visits. You can do telemedicine. You can do these kinds of things. So if the court doesn't touch that, then yes, the pill will be widely available and can go through pharmacies and just be much more accessible. The FDA itself reported, though, that after they changed over to allowing these things to go through mail and telemedicine visits instead of in-person visits, the number of emergency room visits went up. So they themselves admit that there is some increased risk with allowing it to move forward without those in-person doctor visits. But they say, weighing that against all the totality of the evidence, they still feel like it is safe and justified to move forward with those changes.
So somebody in their 20th week who's not supposed to be taking this could end up taking it because they can get it through the mail and don't know that they're not supposed to. I mean, that's maddening to me.
Well, there is supposed to still be some kind of telemedicine proponent to this because it's not supposed to be taken after 10 weeks. It can be obviously very dangerous past that. There are, you know, increased scenarios for complications. And so there is supposed to still be some sort of medical professional that is part of the conversation, assessing where you are gestationally, figuring those things out before you're prescribed the pill.
That's what's so concerning to me, though, is because especially if it's your first pregnancy, you're not going to be showing it all at 10 weeks. So if you're doing a telehealth appointment, it's not like you can say, hey, look at my belly. Look, I'm pregnant. I would imagine you don't have to have any sort of an ultrasound. Yeah. You lie to them, or you get your pregnant friend to be like, yeah, I'm pregnant. I want an abortion. And then you actually give that pill over to your friend who's 20 weeks. The whole thing is so sad to me.
There were a lot of questions that Justice Barrett asked, and she was pretty tough on them because she said, listen, what kind of screening was there for the in-person doctor visits? Was there an ultrasound? Was there a checking of a heartbeat so that you might have a better chance of being accurate about the gestational age? But the government's lawyers argued that wasn't part of the pre-visits that you used to have to do with the in-person doctor. And so Justice Barrett sort of seemed to think like, okay, well, if that assessment wasn't there before, and you're telling me there's no difference in these telemedicine visits, you know, that doesn't weigh in favor of limiting mifepristone.
True. Very true. Shannon, just to get one other subject in here real quick. Had you ever heard of Nicole Shanahan before RFK Jr. named her his vice presidential candidate?
Only in the run-up to her name being on the shortlist, but prior to that, no, I was unfamiliar with her.
Yeah, I don't know much about her, except that everything I read is that she was been a pretty heavy Democrat donor up until now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, listen, her parents were immigrants. She was self-made. She went to Stanford on a sports scholarship. I believe it was softball. She's a surfer. She was, you know, the ex-wife of the guy who co-founded Google. I mean, there are all kinds of interesting nuggets and things, but we're learning more about her political ambitions and donations, and I think that's going to be interesting as more and more people take a look at who this person is on the ticket.
Yeah, I'm not sure that he helped himself here. Who are you having on Sunday?
Well, Senator Rick Scott is going to be one of our guests on Sunday, and I don't think I can disclose where he is, but he's on an important foreign trip here that I think is going to be the center of our discussions this weekend. Plus, you know, Florida is still bracing for dealing with the outpouring of what's happening in Haiti, which, you know, to be honest, is still an exceptionally dangerous situation going on.
It's kind of fallen off the radar a little bit for sure. Mm-hmm. Shannon, thank you. We'll see you Sunday.
Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Thank you. All right. Always good to get her on here. Good discussion about that abortion pill, though. So many questions, and you're right. People who are desperate to get it would lie to get it.
They will.
Then they could put their own health at risk.
I went to a pro-life women's conference, and they said they did that. They did an investigation themselves, said they were 20 weeks, and they had it mailed to them. No questions asked.
Wow.
It's that easy.
Eye-opening. Hey, coming up, we'll get to Griff Jenkins and find out what he's been covering up there regards to that bridge collapse in Baltimore. We'll be right back.
I don't have an update for you. Obviously, we want to do it when it is the appropriate time on the ground. We're going to continue to have conversations with, local officials on the ground to get a sense of what their needs are, but we want to make sure that we do not disrupt their efforts. You just heard from the Secretary and the Vice Admiral, this is a major, major undertaking, and so we don't want to get in the way. But you heard from the President. He wants to get there as quickly as he can.
In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins.
Watch your back.
Yeah, I understand my friend Griff is, you're on a boat in the harbor up there, right, in Baltimore?
I am. I am sitting about 1,000 feet from the magnitude of the bridge collapse and the dolly, that ship sitting there, which, by the way, has 56 hazardous containers on there, some of which have begun to leak.
Oh,
we'll
great.
Talk about that. But I am on a 42-foot gorgeous fishing boat owned by my buddy Captain Lenny, and it's Simon Charters. And I'm telling you that for a shameless plug for him, because rock fishing in the Chesapeake Bay is one of the coolest things you can do. So he also does that when he's not stuck out here with Fox News freezing his ass off trying to weather the rain and high winds to get us a good look. But, you know, I don't know if you've seen any of our coverage. I mean, I think we've really brought some images, Mark, to the viewers and listeners so that they can really see it. And you and I had talked about, you know, what really captivated the country was that video of the collapse. But now when you get the shots that we're giving, and we're exclusively out here, there's no other news crews out here, you're really seeing the damage and the daunting task that it's going to take to get the debris of this bridge out of this channel to open this port up, which is impacting every American when it comes to commerce.
Yeah, I don't know. I heard Pete Buttigieg yesterday, although I'm not sure I take his economic advice very well. He was talking about the supply chain disruption, which is real. What can they truck that stuff out of there? What do they do now with stuff that's trapped in that harbor? Has that been addressed?
So that's a great, I mean, look, that's what we're going to start seeing for the first day today, maybe, and hopefully get an update. And that's the salvage operation. So we're in the third phase. The first phase was the acute search and rescue mission. Then they moved to recovery yesterday. And of course, we all know now that they were able to bring up a pickup truck. We were here watching it when it happened. It was amazing. They used a giant flotation device to raise the truck. And of course, they recovered two of the six bodies. But they, when the divers were down there yesterday, they determined that they can't do any more recovery of the bodies because of the amount of debris that's collapsed on top of the vehicles and how dangerous it is underneath the water, which is about a 30-foot channel. And of course, now we've got news that there's hazardous material, mostly lithium batteries and that sort of stuff, that's leaked off of this, off these containers into the water. And so what you're going to see is, I think, some flat barges that will be towed out with cranes to start moving it. And we think, although we're not sure yet, but Captain Lenny here is pretty familiar with this area, having grown up here and spent a lot of years, that about, oh, say a half mile to a mile just along this harbor area, there's another point called Sollers Point that has cranes and stuff. I think they'll probably start moving the debris over there, then get the channel open just to get these, you know, boats in and out, because it's so critical that you know, still no traffic in and out of here, which is the ninth busiest port in the country, but the top one for things like light trucks and automobiles.
How long do they think it could take, Griff, to get that debris cleared out enough where they can try to recover the remaining bodies?
It's a great question, Kim, and no one's given us an answer to that. Last night at the NTSB press conference, they were asking questions about that, and Pete Buttigieg also has been asked about it, and they just said they really don't want to put a timeline on it because they don't know. But just as a you know, sort of immediate anecdote or sort of window into how difficult it is, we're pretty calm, only about 5 to 10 mile an hour wind right now. But by this evening, they're expecting another rainstorm and winds up to 35 mile an hour gusting. And you can't do anything on that. In fact, they're worried, you know, about the stability of containers that are on the bow of this, where that trellis has crashed down on top of it and containers falling off. And so, you know, it's, I think if I had to guess, and it would be nothing more than a guess, I would say months to really clear. Now, can they create in weeks a channel to maybe just start getting the most top priority ships out of port, which is what they so desperately need to do? That's probably going to be the first phase we see.
Wow.
Well, you know, I wonder, Griff, because you talked about the recovery this morning. Those two victims were inside of a truck. The two that survived, have they related anything to the authorities about how they survived? Were they outside of a vehicle and just fell into the water and were able to hang on to something? Do we have any of those details?
No, and let me tell you, every reporter here sure would like to get that interview.
Oh, I'm sure.
We do know. Well, one bright spot, the guy that fell in obviously didn't go to the hospital, so that's great news. He obviously must not have been injured enough to need that medical requirement. But the one that went to the hospital has been released from the hospital, so he's recovering. And it's an interesting story. I mean, look, this story is a tragic accident, and that's what this story is. But immigration does play a little bit into this, because we now know that all six of these individual construction workers were Hispanic from Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala, and Mexico. And, you know, in this area, that community are the ones filling the potholes and pouring the concrete.
Interesting. So, I mean, I guess maybe at some point somebody will get to one of them, but maybe they wanted to stay below the radar. I mean, is that the point there?
Yeah, I think so. Well, it's just a very tight-knit community. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a group called CASA Maryland, which is the Hispanic community organization here. And they're kind of fronting this, and they're helping us a lot with the idea. We've identified two of the victims, not the ones yesterday that were raised, but two additional ones that we know. One, a guy named Miguel Luna, who's been in the country for 19 years, is a father of three, a grandfather. And, you know, we're slowly learning more, but this community is pretty tight-knit, and we're not having much luck getting him to talk. But I think they're going to start talking. And, you know, when I interviewed Governor Moore, he's talked about how much time he spent with the families and you know, how important these six individuals were. So I think we'll learn more about them in the coming days.
Wow. All right. Griff, we appreciate you giving us a few minutes this morning, buddy. I know you got a lot going on.
Always great to be with you. And tune in here in the next hour. We're going to get those cameras rolling again. And if you haven't had a look yet, we'll show you just the magnitude of this wreckage. And just you start to get a sense for how difficult it is, whether it's recovery, salvation, and let alone search and rescue out here on these waters.
Yep, good point. Griff, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, have a good weekend.
Yep, thank you. That's interesting.
Yeah,
that they're able to get that close. I suspected they would just limit boats in the whole area so that onlookers didn't come out there. Maybe they're letting media in, and that's it.
Well, that's probably one of the issues, is dealing with all the people trying to get a look, you know. But gosh, taking weeks or months, Griff said months, to clear out all of that debris, to even continue with the recovery efforts.
I know, but I don't think it'll take that long.
You think weeks?
Well, I mean, I looked at what they were able to pull off near Fort Myers after the hurricane down there, because it wrecked a number of bridges, and they were able to get some of those. Now, it wasn't a huge bridge as big as this one, but they were able to get some of those bridges repaired pretty quickly. With the right effort, I think they can do it more quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how much pressure is on them to get that done. Finally, Janet Yellen admitted yesterday that she expects insurance payments will cover part of this expense. I would hope so. That shipping company has got to be bonded, right? Or they wouldn't be carrying hazardous waste across the ocean, for sure. All right, we'll get to a quick break, and Kim and I'll be back right after this. So, Carl, I don't know if we still have that bite. Where was the bite Kim played for Kim on a Whim with the squatter who was speaking in Spanish and was giving people advice on how to steal homes?
Monday?
And just kind of move into your house if you want to. America's a great place. It's the land of opportunity.
Here it is.
Listen, in case you
gente, he pensado invadir una casa en United States.
Yeah. So we can decipher that and just tell you that he's talking about you can go anywhere you want in America, find an empty home, move in, and it's your casa.
Squatter's rights, baby.
Because we know our rights, right? So that guy is now on the run from authorities because apparently he is an illegal immigrant and now ICE is looking for him.
Just so you know, if you're an illegal immigrant, maybe don't go viral on TikTok. He would show his little one-year-old daughter with him in all these videos he posted. He had hundreds of thousands of followers on TikTok.
Well, we were lamenting the fact that it as rental owners, I have been in the past, Kim and her husband are now, how maddening it is if somebody was in your house, not paying you any rent, just deciding they could live there because some bleeding heart liberal decided they needed to change the law to give non-homeowners rights. And I get that you don't want landlords to be abusive, but this has carried it way beyond that.
Right.
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 To the point where you can just move into somebody's house and if you've lived there for 30 days, have some sort of rights.
Yeah.
Where did that come from? So this is what I loved about Ron DeSantis yesterday. Carl, play cut number four, please.
This so-called squatter scam is something that's happening around the country. There's even videos telling people how to go in and take over an empty house. That was never how the law was supposed to work. And in Florida, we are going to take action today to end this scam and to protect the private property rights of our homeowners. You should not have anyone go on your property and take it over and then try to assert some rights. It's absurd. We're going to put an end to it today, and we'll be leading the way yet again in the process.
I love this.
If it's that easy to do what Ron DeSantis just did in Florida, why are more governors like Mike Parson not doing that? Why is Missouri not then changing these squatter rights laws?
They should all do it.
Come on.
This bill allows a property owner to request an officer to remove an unauthorized person from their property. First, though, they have to contact the sheriff and file a complaint. If the officer can verify their ownership of the property, the squatter can be removed. Just makes common sense. Now, it also requires the property owner to pay the police officer to be there. But beyond that, that's a hell of a lot cheaper than having to go through an eviction process.
Yeah.
But it does delineate this from the eviction process. The unauthorized person must have entered and remained on the property despite being told to leave. And they have to be clear the person is not a current or former tenant in the middle of a legal dispute. So it still doesn't end that dispute. If somebody was living there, they didn't pay their rent 1 month, the guy's just trying to kick them out because they're late on their rent, it wouldn't allow them to be thrown out for that.
Yeah, because that would require you to go through the formal eviction process.
Yeah, you'd have to prove that they're a squatter.
This is still frustrating that you even have to pay for a sheriff's deputy to be there, but like you said, it's way better than having to go through the eviction process because not only is that very expensive, it is a very long, burdensome process. It can take months and months and months, and you might not get an eviction. There are so many ways the court system has put it in place to side with the, I say renter, but in this case, freeloader who's not paying you rent.
Let's get busy, Missouri. This is what else they did in this bill. The squatter, after being thrown out, can face harsh penalties, including a first-degree felony if they've tried to sell or rent a property without any ownership, a second-degree felony just for staying there or trespassing in the home and causing more than $1,000 in damages, and then a first-degree misdemeanor for making a false claim in writing to obtain property. So there are some teeth to the law, too.
Here's the thing. If that person then tried to come back onto the property after they had been kicked off, removed by a sheriff's deputy, would Castle Law apply?
Of course.
In that circumstance?
I would think. Wouldn't you? It's your
property. I would hope so.
They didn't have a right to be there.
Yeah. He people have to know that. I just talked yesterday about that situation in Collinsville where the supposed person trying to break into a home was shot and killed on the front porch. The homeowner's like, you know, come on, I'm protecting myself and maybe family. I don't know who was living there. The people who are trying to break in and commit crime have to know that death is one of the consequences potentially for their actions. And right now they're like, it's a slap on the wrist, whatever.
Play stupid games, win stupid prizes, right? Basically is what it is.
Yep.
Thank goodness we have that protection here, certainly in Missouri. I assume they do to some extent in Illinois, but I can't swear to that. All right, that does it for us. Brian Kilmeade coming up next here on the radio station. Annie Fry, Mark Reardon will round things out this afternoon. Steve Ellman's going to be on at about 5 o'clock on Reardon's show to talk more about his dispute with Mayor Jones over policing. Don't miss that. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.